It's good to have you tuning in on a Friday as we end the week together here on God Is. And all this week, I've been talking about the nature of sin. We talked about its origin, Satan, and that led us into a biblical assessment of who Satan is. He's evil. Satan is subtle. Satan is a seducer. And Satan is a liar and a murderer. He is a fallen angel, and he's leading an all-out rebellion against God Almighty. And he brought sin into the Garden of Eden. God is holding him accountable for sin. God cursed Satan, and we supported all of this from within the biblical text. And yet, we cannot entirely blame the devil. As we discussed yesterday, Adam and Eve are still held accountable by God for their sin. And they were also cursed in Genesis chapter 3. I trust that you took my invitation yesterday to read Genesis 3, verses 14 through 19 on your own. If so, you read about the specific curses on Satan, man, and woman. And those curses still stand today. Why? Because Adam's sin is our sin. This is what Christians believe to be original sin. And by using the term original sin, we are describing what the Bible clearly teaches. We all have corrupted, sinful nature because of Adam's sin of eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That is, everyone who follows Adam is a born sinner. And this is important to know. This is not just some sort of boring theological concept. This is practical. Let me put it to you this way. We all sin because we are sinners. We all sin because we are sinners. And yet, there is such resistance in our culture to talking about what is the most obvious reality within every person. As I said earlier in our discussion, sin is not a popular topic. And yet, we all hold this in common. We are sinners. And you can go visit any culture in any city or suburb or countryside or even country in the entire world, and everyone you meet will in some ways be different. Languages are different. Customs are different. Food is different. Ideas, philosophies, ways of thinking and living can be different, but one thing that remains the same. All people, everywhere we go, are sinners. To be human is to be a sinner, born into the world with a nature corrupted by sin that only, sadly, gets refined with age. In fact, last night I was preparing for future broadcasts, and I finished my writing and went by the living room where my wife was watching the evening news. One of the stories out of the country of Syria captured my attention, so I sat down to watch. The horror of what the people of that nation are going through is very difficult to comprehend any other way than to say it is attributable to one reality, sin. The sinful, depraved soul of Bashar al-Assad has driven him to destroy his own people. The sin of pride is an untamable monster roaring out of the inner man. But that was not all. Then the newsman turned his attention to violence in the streets of the cities in the United States. And that was followed by another story about how addiction to pot, being made legal all across the country, destroys teenagers and families. By the time he got to the first commercial, I thought, we can easily summarize the past three major news stories in just one word. Sin. S-I-N. And yet, it would be easy for me to walk away from the TV and think, such sinners, while imagining myself as above the people in these stories, like I am somehow set apart beyond sin. It's easy to deny sin in myself while quickly pointing it out in others. Now listen, of course, not all sin is alike in the sense that its consequences differ. I sin by losing my temper and flashing my anger when I feel wronged. Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, loses his temper and thousands of people, including children, die. The root of sin is the same, but the consequences are different. I give in to the temptation to gluttony, overeating, which is a sin. And I end up in the doctor's office. But a teenager in my town gives in to the temptation to take a powerful and illegal drug, and he winds up dead. The root of sin is the same, but the consequences are much different. But sin is sin, and God doesn't rank it. Listen now. I am as accountable to God for uncontrolled anger and gluttony as Assad is for uncontrolled anger and as this teenager is for illegal drug use. And I am aware that as I say that, you might be thinking, really? I doubt it. But can I submit to you that if you feel that way, if that thought just came to your mind, what you are doing is practicing self-denial. Sinners are very good at denying that we ourselves are the sinners. So, for example, let's say you agree with me that sin is at the core of all those news stories, and that if people would not sin, then the world would be a much better place. Well, how would you feel if I suggested that if you, yes, you, were to stop sinning, then the world would be a much better place? See, most of us do not like that. And we do not like it because we deny that we're as responsible for the world being in the shape that it is in as anyone else. Ask your family, friends, and your colleagues if they think their world with you in it would at least be a better place if you stopped sinning. I bet they say a resounding yes. And I guarantee you the people around me would say yes if I cut back on my sin against them. And one of the ways this self-denial of sin takes root is in a person's response to the Genesis 3 account of sin entering the world. I've heard it said like this: it's only an apple. Put as a question, what's the big deal about eating a piece of fruit? Is God serious? I mean, just because Adam and Eve ate fruit of a tree, that makes me a sinner? I have heard more than one person say that to me when I have described the biblical account of sin's beginning and of sin's lasting impact in all of our lives. Sinners love to deny sin, but sin creates all our personal problems, and sin is at the core of all the world's problems as well. All we have to do is turn on the news in whatever form we get it, and it's got S-I-N written all across it. We can deny it all we want, but eating the fruit, and by the way, the Bible does not call it an apple, eating the fruit is a big deal, and what it reflects is a serious presumption on the part of the human being against the Lord God. And this is how I want to end our week together. Here's another question about sin. It's only a piece of fruit. What's the big deal? For anyone asking this, you're presuming a lot. And what you presume is that this one act by Adam and then Eve is not a big deal to God. You see, so many of us think it's only a little sin. But what we fail to realize is that to God, sin of any size, shape, or kind is always intolerable. God cannot in any way tolerate or accept or condone or go without punishing sin. So to him, this was not only an apple or just a piece of fruit or what's the big deal. To him, this has always been, is, and will always be, in our language, a really big deal. While we presume to think that it's only a little sin, in reality, sin is like one of those Russian Maryshoyka dolls. I think you'll know the kind I mean. When I was in Russia, these were for sale everywhere we went, and eventually we succumbed and bought one set. They're painted beautifully, and the first one you see is fairly sizable, but then when you pull the head off of it, there's a slightly smaller one inside that, and then a slightly smaller one, and down you go until there's just this one tiny, small, wooden Pereshoyka doll. Sin is like that. One sin can include many sins. See, we see sin on the outside when a person acts out in sin, but God sees right into the core of our being, into our hearts and souls, to the tiniest hidden Maryshoyka me. And what he finds there is sin. I am rotten to the core. Look, I'm describing to you via analogy the truth about us. I know you probably do not find this to be positive messaging on a Friday, but if I do not present biblical truth to you, then I've got no business talking to you at all. God is a holy God who finds sin reprehensible. He set the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden on purpose. He put it there to test obedience in man and woman. We, all of us, have failed the test, and now we live in sin. We do not believe God when he warns us off of sin. He's like the medical doctor who pleads with us to give up some vice or face adverse consequences in our physical health. We do not really believe the doctor. We keep up with the vice. Eventually, we get a diagnosis, we have treatment, but in the end, we die of the very disease the doctor said we would get and would kill us. And still, in our final breaths, many of us want to blame the doctor. My friends, there is no physical disease worse than sin. But let's end the week with this tremendous news. There is a cure for sin. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Remember this testimony of John the Baptist? If you will believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of your own sin, then he will heal you of it. He will take it away. Want to know more? Email me this weekend and I'll tell you much more. Otherwise, stick with me and come back on Monday and every day next week as we continue to learn that God is willing to take away our sin.